So what can you do over time that allows you to like share content you love to do, share content that's fun for you, that's exciting, that accomplishes your purposes, but doesn't burn you out, and just keep going. Like that's how you win this game. Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Marketing Should Be Fun podcast, where we believe marketing is something you get to do, not something you have to do. We hope you leave here encouraged, inspired, and a little more excited to share your gifts with the world.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Marketing Should Be Fun. My name is Austin Savage, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner, Kelsey Zarco. Kelsey,
nice.
Welcome back to the show. Hello. How are you?
Thanks. I'm so glad to be restored to your good friend standing. I'm better already because of that.
All is right in the world.
It's true.
I feel like we're settled. We're on good foundation for a great episode.
Got a good feeling.
It's going to be awesome.
Yep.
But you know what? Today, let's just jump straight in to what I'm sure will be an exhilarating, a memorable, an unforgettable this or that, since you're bringing the question.
Okay, here it is. We hinted at this last time and we didn't go there. So we're going to go there today. It's Monday, March 11th, okay, as we're recording this. We've sent out our team-wide bracket invitations for March Madness. The scene has set.
We did.
We are ready. So my this or that question today is, are you hoping to see like just some really good games and kind of a team that often is good win? Or are you hoping for like another year of upsets all around?
Oh, man. That is a good question. That is a good question.
Thank
There's
you.
A lot of I conversation really, about this.
Yeah, I worked really hard on it.
I worked so hard on this question.
I did. I was like, it has to be March Madness. What can I say that won't make me sound like I don't know sports?
Totally. And you know what? The tournament will be starting the day that we share this. So that was good planning on your part. Let's go.
Yes.
I think that's really interesting because like there are, like we talked about this a little bit on the last episode, but there are some clear favorites this year for March Madness of people who are like, you know, these are like clearly some of the best teams. Mm-hmm. But there has been so much back and forth throughout the season of like teams that should have won but didn't, yeah, and like just teams that are kind of like leading in their own right. I think that there's going to be a lot of surprises, but it's like so many teams that might be lower seeded like won't feel like a Cinderella run this year in a sense. Like there's just so many, there's just like a lot of equality, I guess, a lot like across like teams on the level that a lot of them are playing at. Okay. So I think it's going to be fun, but I think I would rather, I mean, it was really cool last year to see, I just put it in the email that I sent our bracket out with, like there was no one seed, two seed or three seed in the final four last year, which is like crazy. And so that was fun. I would love for there to be a couple front runners this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
that's understandable, especially coming off of last year. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What do you think? I know that I'm supposed to have my answer now and I'm like, no idea. I will do a bracket and I had told you too, like we'll do them with our kids because it's really fun to just pay attention to. I kind of feel the same way. Like I'm good if, you know, kind of a normal favorite would win or Baylor. I mean, you know, I like to just pick these random teams that I love. So, you know,
you love Baylor and they've had an okay year. So you might just pick them again.
Yeah, I might. Sometimes I definitely pick my bracket based on like heart and how I feel about the team. Nothing to do with actual basketball statistics or skill or anything like that.
Yeah, it is totally fair. Illinois has been getting a lot of love this year for like how well they've been playing, but they always play terribly in come tournament time. Mm-hmm. And I live in Illinois. And so I really like I would love for Illinois to do well, but I just hate because every year I just like don't put them forward in my bracket at all. I just like, I just assume that they're going to lose and it makes me so sad.
So. Womp womp. Well,
womp,
we'll
womp.
Have to see what happens. It's gonna be fun. I'm excited that it's time for the tournament again.
I know. I'm excited too. So we have a very fun topic for the day. A very important topic for the day. A little bit of a perspective shifter, I think, for some people at least. But we want to talk about how old content. Like, here's how I want to phrase it. I think today we want to talk about how the phrase or the idea of a of content having a shelf life is not always so like cut and dry. It's not always like this this science or you know, this kind of perspective that we need to hold on all of our content. I'm sure that some of our listeners have kind of heard like the phrases of like, I don't like, what do they say the shelf life of like an Instagram post is now, like 12 hours or something? Or like, is it even shorter than that?
Well, it depends on what kind of post it is. Is it a reel? Is it a picture? A carousel? Yeah, yeah. Lots of differences.
Yeah. And so like, there's this idea, I think, that a lot of people sort of carry, especially if you've like seen posts like that or like, you know, just kind of like been around that language, is just this like idea that like content has a shelf life. And, you know, we're just like kind of operating in this like sort of box where we're just envisioning that like whatever we create, eventually it stops being relevant. At some point, nobody's going to engage with it anymore. And that's not always the case. And especially like, it is very true on social that like at some point, the algorithm itself is, you know, going to stop showing a post or, you know, start showing it less frequently. But there still is the human component. There are the people who go back through your feed. There are the people who, you know, search for something specifically. And, you know, when you start like going beyond that to platforms like blogs and podcasts and in I mean, even emails, like there is just the fact that like those things still exist in the world. They still are, you know, garnering traffic or getting shared by people or are showing up in searches or are just things that people just go back and listen to for whatever reason, even if it's 5 years old, because it is a topic that they're interested in, or because, you know, somebody mentioned it and they spent an hour searching for that specific, you know, piece of content, on Google or, you know, whatever it is. And I think that we sometimes can limit ourselves on this, perspective. So I have two quick stories and then, would love to hear your thoughts on this. This has happened for us, twice with clients before. We had one client come to us that we worked with a lot last year, and one of the like primary, I asked them like, what was kind of the tipping point? You know, like when did you or like what was it that kind of, you know, sparked you reaching out? And just like verbally, they just kind of told me, they were like, well, there's this post that you shared where you were at a conference, and, you know, we were just like, oh, like these people are committed to like getting better and like, you know, always whatever. And the last post that I had shared of being at a conference was like a year and a half before that. Like it was just like something that they had to like scroll back in my feed for. But it was something that like contributed to the sale. Like it was something that, that was used by them in the decision to ultimately work with us. That's not something that was like, that is a post that was past its shelf life, but still like played a role in our business. And then just recently I was talking with one of our clients, and they were talking about how they listened to some of the episodes of our podcast before they chose to work with us. And I asked them, I was like, oh, I'm just like curious, like what episodes did you like, did you take the time to listen to? Cause we have, you know, 40 plus, like what did that look like? And they were like, well, I went back and I listened to the first three episodes, and then I went and listened to the most recent three. And I just thought it was so cool that like, you know, somebody again, like took the time to go all the way back to episode one, episode two, episode three, just to get a feel for like what our show is about, but just to take the time to listen to even our older content. And that, again, those first three episodes, which are not, you know, featured on our podcast feed, you know, you have to dig for those like back in on YouTube or like on Apple Podcasts, whatever. They again played a role in people's decisions to work with us. And I just think it's a very important thing to recognize. So what thoughts do you have? I just talked for like 17 hours.
That was great. You did not talk for 17 hours. I would have been leaving on vacation by now if that was really true. Spring break time, guys. We're recording this episode before we hop on the road, but I do have thoughts. I love this topic so much. I could go like, my brain is like firing so many different directions right now, but it really reminds me of like just the term, just the idea of like letting people be humans and like embracing that for a couple different reasons. Like, number one, you just have to trust in the, you know, human experience of like, they're not always going to tap the like button. We talk about this all the time. They're not always going to like leave you a review. You're not going to see who it was that listened, but like, there is just that human behavior of consuming content and of, you know, having their eyes or their ears on the things that you share, but then also trusting your audience and letting them be humans and letting them take in the content in whatever way that is. Like this person who's like, you know, scrolling back and listening to the first three episodes. Like, we always want to be strategic. We always want to consider analytics and just do things smart and well, but we have to leave room for that human component. Like, we just can't track every little thing, and we don't want to, because then we don't have an audience we can connect with. Then we just have like robots out there. And so I don't know, that's just what was on my mind first, but I see this be true all the time for our clients. You know, what you're saying about like the shelf life isn't just something we can keep in a box necessarily. I think about one of our clients who's growing rapidly on Instagram right now, and her reels will randomly, like the ones we share from this week, will do great. But then we will have a reel that's from like 3 months ago that all of a sudden starts blowing up again. And some of that is just like, you know, we laugh and we're like, oh, the algorithm, the system, like it's not against you, but sometimes it is a little confusing. But again, like that's why we just continue to share the same message and the same, you know, those same buckets of the things we're talking about and just remaining consistent with our audience, because we just, you don't know what thing is going to resonate or like what thing will come back around or what will, you know, all of a sudden just be something that people connect with. And then, you know, it gets another circulation through things because of all that engagement. So I guess I'm just co-signing this topic and saying, absolutely.
Co-signing matters. Co-sign is important.
Yes. Five stars. I would recommend.
The other day we were talking about that client who said that they listened to the first three episodes of our podcast. And you and I were just talking about like the complexity from an analytics perspective. There are not a lot of people who go back and listen to the first three episodes of our podcast or of any podcast, you know, for that matter, unless it's like a serial show. In your analytics report that we get from our podcast host every week, you know, it goes through like, here were your top episodes, or like you can see, you know, every episode, but like I can guarantee episodes 1, 2, and 3 were like really far at the bottom of that list. You know, like it wouldn't even be something that I take note of. Somehow those got downloaded. It's easy to sort of like brush it aside. Again, it's shifting that perspective in our mind of like, we view it as just this like drop off, but instead like learning to just view this as things that are like working for you. And, you know, like even like starting to take that perspective and like, think about how you can leverage that old content. There's probably some of those old conversations that like we should be sharing more. Clearly they connected, you know, they might not be presented as well as, you know, some of our more recent episodes. You know, they might have things that we would like frame or say differently now, but there's still like a very real kind of like representation of, you know, who we are or have been as an agency. And I just think it's, yeah, I think it's like really interesting. And it's just an important reminder of like not to discount those smaller levels of like analytics. Even if something isn't constantly going, you know, up and to the right, it doesn't mean that it has all of a sudden lost all value for your business. If you are, you know, writing a blog that's like primarily for the purpose of like long-term ranking, like for SEO purposes, you know, you're going to share that blog to, you know, your audience, you're going to, you know, try to get some like extra traffic, like at the very beginning of its creation. And so you're going to see like a little bump and then it's going to drop. And then you're going to see like it kind of, you know, steadily go, go back up over, over time and fluctuate with the, with the, you know, whims of the people that you're trying to reach with what they're searching and what they are, you know, needing in a given month. And the like ups and downs don't always just mean failure or mean that like this has suddenly lost its value. And I think that that holds, you know, some interesting takeaways for a lot of content marketers specifically.
I think of the person listening who's like, how do I beat the system? How do I win the game? Like, okay, so you're saying, you know, analytics do matter, analytics don't matter. You have to be somewhere in the middle, keep your perspective. And I think the way you win is two things come to mind. You need to be consistent, but that means you need to be consistent for what you can do and how that looks for you. Mm-hmm. So this is why we preach consistency. This is what we do with our own clients. This is what we try to do with our own content ourselves too, is say the things that matter to you that are true about your brand. Don't feel like you have to go, you know, chase every last trend and whim and thing, you know, say what's true to you and be consistent with it. Mm-hmm. But again, like we have a couple of great episodes on this topic about how consistency doesn't mean the same thing for everyone. So what can you do over time that allows you to like share content you love to do, share content that's fun for you, that's exciting, that accomplishes your purposes, but doesn't burn you out, and just keep going. Like that's how you win this game, is just keep going, keep being consistent. And you're going to have content out there in a, you know, huge variety of places for people to be able to interact with you, for to interact in a human way. And that's kind of the beauty of, how you win at this and how you see some of those same stories be true for you when people come to you and you're like, how'd you hear about me? Or where did you find this? Because you just kept showing up and putting stuff out there and putting opportunities to connect. When they have the opportunity, then people are able to connect.
I think one of the most interesting things about like content marketing as a whole is that like a lot of times, like just the fact that you're doing it is like noticed by people. You know, like even if they're not taking the time to like deeply engage with every piece of content, you know, just the fact that they're seeing regular podcast episodes about this industry or seeing, you know, new blog posts or just seeing like, oh, they posted again on social. I don't have time to read the post, but like I'm taking note of the fact that they did. Like it puts this like expertise and it puts this kind of like even like that alone, just like people recognizing that you're sharing content is like a big trust builder. And like we talk about the phrase like integrated content marketing all the time. And, you know, oftentimes like that can exist like on the same platform, like when you have been consistent for so long, you know, like it's one of the things that people miss out on, you know, for something like a podcast, you know, if you do like 10 episodes and feel like, I mean, like I haven't really gotten what I wanted from this and, you know, just stop creating, like you're losing momentum, but you're also just losing the value of just that longevity of consistency of like, I am showing up here. I'm continuing to add value. I'm adding value in this way. And then those things happen where people can come to your podcast. Like maybe they've seen you post 20 episodes, but they've never taken the time to listen. But now when they do, they can listen to 7 episodes because they find 7 episodes that are interesting to them. And you've built up the library and they can see the fruit of that consistency. And it's like that, just this almost like confirmation of what they thought about you as they just look at that, and all of those pieces of content are working together to solidify your place in their mind for your industry. And I think like that alone, you know, like you talked about consistency, like that alone holds so much value, and that alone, like when people can see that, even if less people are listening to episode one, like episode one is still playing a role in what that library of content represents. You know, like it still is acting as like, this is the marker for how long we've been creating content. And this is something that you can see and is proof of our consistency and our expertise. I think that's a big piece of it too.
Yeah. I think we talk about how consistency builds trust. And I think part of that is that it builds trust because they're reading and listening and taking in your content, but part of it builds trust because they just know in the back of their mind, this person keeps showing up. And that's what we all want on our team, is somebody who just keeps showing up for us. So I think there's a lot of power there.
So I think to close, I just want to say that like, I feel like this topic can often be a barrier for people to like continue with their content marketing strategy or to like start it in the first place. You know, like I think that it often can feel like, oh, you know, there's this shelf life of content, like, oh, my Instagram post is only going to exist for 12 hours or whatever. Like, I probably just shouldn't do that. And I think like that does that perspective is just such a bummer because it's such a simplistic way to look at content marketing, you know, to look at it as individual pieces doing individual things instead of a kind of like robust strategy that is working together to create trust and, you know, build community and, you know, create connection between your brand and the people that you're trying to reach. And so I think I just want to leave all of our listeners with just that encouragement of like every piece of content that you do create matters, even if you are seeing, you know, a decrease in engagement on that individual piece over, you know, say a week or 2 weeks or, you know, a year. Even if you're seeing that decrease, it doesn't mean that that is no longer playing a piece in the strategy as a whole, or no longer playing a part in how people are perceiving you and perceiving your brand. So I hope that that is an interesting kind of thought to sort of like chew on today, and hopefully is a bit of a perspective shift if you, you know, have been kind of struggling with whether to continue or whether to start content marketing as a whole. But every piece of content that you create matters. So we will leave you with that, and we will see you right back here on the next episode of Marketing Should Be Fun.
Hey, thanks for listening in to today's episode of the Marketing Should Be Fun podcast. We share an episode every other week, so make sure to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. We'd also love to connect with you on social, so come hang out on Instagram at savagecontent.co or sign up for email updates on our website. All right, friend, here's your reminder that marketing is something you get to do, not something you have to do. We'll see you next time.